Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now at the very top of Gittin Daf Membet Amud Aleph, continuing our discussion about the half Eved, half Ben Chorin. And the most recent comment that we are now going to deal with is Rebbe versus Chachomim, who said that if somebody frees a half an Eved, that whether or not it's valid, Rebbe says it is, Chachamim say the kinyan is nothing. Amar Rabba, machloket b'sheshichra chetzio v'niya chetzio. Rabba says the only dispute is if you freed half but kept half. Aval shichra chetzio machar chetzio, but if you freed half and then sold the other half, on a time matana chetzio, you gave the other half away, kevin de konafik mine kule, since you are totally free of this guy, divrei hakol kana, everyone will agree, Chachamim will agree, b'kesef u'bishtar, either way, that the deal is valid. Amar le Abaye. Abaye challenges Rabba as follows. V'chula lo pliga, they don't disagree even about when you dispose of all of the Eved, part this way, part that way. V'atani chada, we have the following contradiction between Breitot. Hakotev nechasav l'shnei avadav, if a fellow writes his entire estate over to his two slaves, kanu m'shachrin zedzet, they acquire it, and then since they acquire each other, they have to free each other. Tanya Idach, that would seem to indicate that selling part of a slave works as long as you sell part and then get rid of the other part. Tanya Idach, but the other brayta says, Ha'omer kol nechasayin etunin leponi uponi avadai, again, a man has two slaves, and he says, all of my property is given to my two slaves. Afatzmam lo kanu, they get nothing including themselves. They don't even free themselves. So you see that there seems to be continued contention about the ability to sell half a slave that's played out here. My love, HaRebbe HaRabbanan, so wouldn't the easiest way to solve this contradiction be to say that the first bright is Rebbe who says that half a sale is valid, and the Rabbanan is the author of the second bright who say that it's not? No, idi Rabbanan. The Rabbanan will agree with all of these statements. Ha da'amar kulo, ha da'amar chetzi chetzi. If you sold everything, then indeed it would be valid. But if you sold them in parts, then indeed the part isn't good, and therefore the second part is now coming off of a nothing, and it's no good either. So you have to sell it all at once. Ah, but does that really work? V'hamenik tani seifa. The seifa that breita is, v'mamar chetzi chetzi lo kanu. So in that the first braita that said that it works, it then says, but if you said half and half, it doesn't work. Michal dereisha damar kulo. So obviously that means that in the first case you said kulo, and there it worked. And you're trying to tell me that when you say kulo and try to do it all at once, it doesn't work. So the answer is no. Purusha kimafarish. Actually, the second half is not distinguishing itself from the first half, but is explaining it. Afatzman lo kanu. The first half, we're talking about the second braita. The first half of the second braita says, Kol nechasayin etunin leponi uponi avadai, avatzmam lo kanu, we're now positing is when you gave it bechulo. So we say, so mechetzad, kagon damar chetzi chetzi. So when is that circumstance? That's when you said chetzi chetzi. So when you said kulo, it all works, as I explained originally. And you have to say that because if you argue that the first case of the second braita, the one that we saw originally in the contradiction, is a case where you said kulo, then what would you need to tell me in the seifa that if you said half and half it doesn't work? After all, if you said kulo it doesn't work, then certainly half and half wouldn't work. So certainly, it must be that the second braita starts off, and the assumption there is that you're selling him half at a time, and that doesn't work, and the second half of the braita is simply explaining that. So, imishum halo irya, says, no, that's not a proof. Tana seifa legliya reisha, perhaps the reisha really is kulo, the seifa is chetzi chetzi, and the seifa is mentioned to explain what the reisha is. Shelo tomar reisha damar chetzi chetzi, so you should not think that the reisha is a chetzi chetzi case. Havala amar kulo kanu, but if you said kulo, it would work. Tana seifa damar chetzi chetzi, so therefore they explicitly said chetzi chetzi in the second half, michal dereisha damar kulo, to show that the first half of the braita was kulo, afilu achilo kanu, and still it didn't work. Which means we may be back to square one, where the first braita says that if you give everything to your two slaves, it works and they free each other. And the second braita says it doesn't work at all, even if you give it to them all at once. So let's see if we have another answer. Vayitema lo kasha kan bishtar achad kan bishnei shtarot. If you give it all in one shtar to the two avadim, then it will work. But if you give it in, if you give it in one shtar, then it's not going to work because you wrote in the shtar, everything I own goes to Ploni and Ploni, my servants. That'll be the second brayta. And that will not work simply because of a fault in the shtar shichur, because you can't be mishachar two avadim at once. But in shtei shtarot, you independently give it to them, then they'll be free, and that'll be the first brayta. Now, b'shtar achad ma'ir yachatzi chetzi. So if that's the case, remember, the second brayta, which we're now saying was b'shtar achad, has a seifa that says chetzi chetzi. So afilo mar kulo nami lo kanu. So then why does the seifa have to say chetzi chetzi? Even if, according to what you said, if you give it to them in one shtar, even if you give the entire thing at one shot, it won't work. So hachinami kamar, that's indeed what it says. Afatzman lo kanu, meaning they don't acquire themselves. That's mishtar echad. Avo v'shnei shtarot kanu, this is the subtext of the second brayta. If you give them in two separate shtarot, it'll work. But if you said chetzi chetzi, then even in separate shtarot, it won't work. So according to this second answer that we have, the first answer being that we distinguish between saying kulo and chetzi chetzi, and we said that's still a possibility, even though we did not favor it in the words. The second answer is that if you give it in one shtar, then it's invalid, and the subtext of that is, but two separate shtarot would be valid, but if you said chetzi chetzi, it wouldn't. And the first bright that was valid was simply two shtarot. Very simple. A third answer. If you free them at one shot, then it'll work. If you free one after the other, then it won't work because each one is being half. So, it's all according to Rabbanan. So, that doesn't work though because Bishlama Batra Lokani, I understand why the second slave in the sequence of being freed won't acquire anything. Takani Lekama, because when the first one is freed, he acquired the second one. So the second one can't be freed. Alakama Likni Nafshe. But the first guy should acquire his own freedom, and he should acquire the other guy. So that third answer is knocked out. Certainly we have to accept one of the first two answers that we had to distinguish between these two braitot, but none of them say that the braitot are Rebbe versus Rabbanan, supporting Rambam's contention that when you divest yourself fully of the Eved, then everyone agrees that it works, as long as it's done in the right way. Yishtar Echad, Shtei Sharot, Vatachat, Kulo, etc. Rashi Amar, now Rashi has another possible answer. Shani Hatam, the Kakaru Lahat Lahu Avadai. Rashi points to the Brayta and says, you don't need to find a mechanical problem, find the language issue. In the first Brayta where it worked, it said, Akotev Nechasav L'Shnei Avadav. We don't know what his wording is. He said, I'm writing it to Chaim and to Moshe. But in the second one, he said, they're given to my servants. So he said, therefore, since you still call them the servants, therefore, that means they're not freed. So I'm from the Ravashi. That just doesn't stand the test of the text. V'dilma avadai shayukvar. Maybe that means the people who were up until now my avadim. That's why he's identifying them. And we have Mishnayot and Braitot all over the place that use that terminology. As an example, the Mishnah Peah Per Gimel Mishnah Chet Milot Nana Kotev Kol Nachasav LeAvdo Yatzal LeChirut Sherkaka Kol Shul LeYatzal LeChirut. We saw this earlier in the Masechet. Shimon Omer LeOlamu Ben Chorinat Shemar Kol Nachasayin Tunim LePloni Avdi Chutz MiAchad MiRibot Shevayin. We're not going to look at the mechanics of this particular Mishnah because it really is not our issue. The point is that you're granting your property to your Eved and calling him in your words Eved. And for a technical reason, Rabbi Shimon says it won't work in this case. The only reason is because you said one percentage or one tenth of a percent of what I own doesn't go. Halo amra hachikani. But if you didn't say that, you just said everything I have goes to my eved. It works. Amai by eved kakarile. You're calling him your eved. El avdi shayakfar. Nachanami avadai shayukfar. Avdi doesn't mean perpetual Eved. It means the guy who up until now was my Eved. I'm giving it to him now. Same way, Avadai here means that. So Ravashi's answer doesn't work. Okay, and that really is the end of that entire piece of analyzing the machloka between Rebbe and Chachamim about selling half a slave, whether that deal works at all. remember that there was not at all a problem for our Mishnah about a half Eved, half Ben Chorin that we're going to come back to right now, because we explained that everyone would agree that if two separate partners owned them and one freed his half, then indeed that would be valid. Okay, now back to our half Eved, half Ben Chorin, who at least temporarily, until we fully free him, is working, and every other day his wages go to himself, and every other day they go to the master owns half of him. Now, Nagcho Shor Yom Shel Rabo L'Rabo, if an ox gored the Eved and caused him damage, if it was on a day he was working for his Rebbe, the money goes to his Rebbe. Yom Shel Atzmo L'Atzmo, if it's one of his independent days, he gets the money, which is a little bit strange, because the damage is something that is not going to just last for the rest of the day. But nonetheless, that's the way that it seems. So in other words, at this point, we're saying that on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you are a free man. And on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, you are an Eved, and the money all goes to the master. So Elamiata, Yom Sharabo Yisa Shifcha. So if that's the case, then on Monday, you should be able to be married to a Shifcha and live with her on Wednesday and on Friday. And Yom Shalatzma Yisa Bat Chorin, and on Sunday you should be able to marry a Jewish girl and live with her on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, whatever the days are. And that we did not allow. That was Beit Shammai's whole protest. So the answer is Isura Lo Kamrina. We're not applying that to Isurim. We'll apply it to Momonot, to financial considerations, and say part of the time your financial holdings are independent. Sometimes there is an Eved. So let's see if that really works. Toshma, meet me shechetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin. You have this half eved, half ben chorin, and an ox gored him and killed him, in which case the owner of the ox has to pay 30 shekel to the master. Noten chatzi knas l'rabo. So the halacha is that he has to give half of the knas, meaning 15 shekel, to the master, because it's half eved. Vechatzi kofer liyorshav. And the other half, paid as kofer, goes to the heirs of this dead eved. We'll see how he has heirs also, which is another problem. Amai, according to your reasoning, what you said, when it comes to financial issues, we simply look at what day, what your status was today, your financial status was today, independent or enslaved, and based on that was where the payment goes. Amai, hachinami leima, yom sharaba l'rabba, yom shalat smalat, so why don't you say the same thing, that if it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it goes to yourself, and Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, your master, whichever way you want to do it. So shani hacha de kakal yakarna, here it's different because he's dead. Means the principal's been consumed. In other words, everything's wiped out, and now, as an owned piece, he's dead. Owned piece. He's half owned by himself, half by the, and therefore goes to the Yorshim, half by the master. Now, valid, hechidami de lo kal yakarna. So give me a case where it's not all consumed. Gonshi kal al yadov, it's some tayadov is sofal achzor. Let's say that somebody punched the Eved and hurt his hand, and it's gonna get better. It withered, but it's gonna get better. In that case, the payment would go based on whatever day it was. But that only works, hanechal abaye. That only works according to abaye. Da'amar, noten lo shevet gdola v'shevet ktanah. When a human being damages another person, hits another person, he's chayev to pay five things. One of them is lost wages, called shevet. According to abaye, there's two different payments of shevet. There's your daily wages, and then there's the overall loss of value as a worker. Right, so according to Abaye, that'll work. Shapir, because then an ox will pay, when an ox gores, an ox will pay the same thing. The case we're talking about is not, as I represented it, a person hitting him, but rather as an ox hitting him and only damaged him. Will the owner of the ox have to pay for lost wages? According to Abaye, yes, because regular lost wages, which we learn of from the case of battery, of a person hurting another person, does involve, according to Abaye, both payment for daily lost wages and overall nezek. But according to Rava, who says shevet, lost wages, is only your daily wages and not overall nezek, then that means it doesn't apply to shor, which means if a shor does it, you don't have such a payment, which means we're again back at square one, which is not really a problem for us, but we're trying to find a case where you would have to pay for damages based on what day he was, where the principal was not consumed or he wasn't dead. So I sure who v'shorim mishalim elanezek. So we have two answers. This is what I anticipated, that it's a situation where a person hit him. Where a person hit him certainly does have to pay for shevet, and it would depend on the day. It could be that entire statement about paying the kofar, that's a memra, meaning a statement of amurayim, a memra of the Rava, lo svirale. Rava doesn't agree with it. So Rava's not really challenged. Rava, who maintains that there's only nezek payment, and as on the shevet payment, which means the shor won't pay it, he doesn't accept this memra. All right, now we have a series of questions about the Eved who's in the status of being on his way to be freed. In the case in our Mishnah where he is a half Eved, half Ben Chorin. So first question. Somebody who's waiting for his Get Shichur. Yesh lo knas o ein lo knas. If he's killed by a shore, is there knas payment or not? Kesef shloshim shkolim yitain la donav. The text says it goes to his master. Amar Achmanav ahai lav adonhu. And this guy's not his master because this guy, he's already doesn't own him. He just has to give him a Get Shichur. Perhaps he's still called the master because there is no Get Shichur yet. Toshma, so we have the following possible proof. The statement that we just saw. So my love, Commissioner Mishachrona, aren't we talking about a case following Beit Shammai's argument that Beit Hillel accepted, and that is that this guy is about to go free. In other words, if you're chatziv and chatziv and chorin, that means automatically you're on the way to freedom, which means all you are is mukav get shichur, and you see that there's payment for knas. So knas does go to a master who isn't really a master, because the knas does have to be paid. It might not go to him. And in this case, the half does go to him. No, Mishnah Rishona, perhaps this is referring back to a situation like Mishnah Rishona before Beit Hillel agreed with Beit Shammai and said the half Eved half Ben Chorin is a perpetual state, and therefore he's not Mukav Get Shichur because he's not on his way to getting freed. He's going to stay that way. Let's see if we can prove it from here. Toshmai Pilat Shino V'Simei Eteino. Remember that the Torah explicitly says that if a master pokes out the eye or punches out the tooth of his own slave, the slave goes free. Parenthetically, important note, in the ancient world, this was a practice that masters had of branding their slaves, and the Torah seems to be polemicizing against it and saying that you cannot brand your slave that way. Indeed, if you try, you lose him. In any case, the Torah explicitly says that Shein and Ayin free the slave. However, there are many other limbs, and it's a sugya in Kiddushin, many other limbs that also have the same halacha that we learn by inference from there. But those are the two that are explicit. Keep that in mind as we move ahead. Now, what happens if you knock out the tooth and punch the eye, and knock out the eye, or blind the eye of your slave? Yotzei b'shino, the slave goes free because of the shein, v'notein d'meino, and you have to pay him for the eye. Now, clearly, you didn't write a get shichur between the time that you punched him in the eye and knocked out his tooth, and sorry, punched him in the tooth and knocked, and blinded him, which means that even though he was, did not yet have a get shichur, he's already considered to be a free man, and the payment goes to him. V'yamart yesh lo knas, u knas l'rabo, and if you think that an eved who's on his way out, who gets killed by a shore, that knas payment exists and it goes to the master. Hashta achavli be'achrini yahavile l'rabbe. Think about this. If another person damages this eved who's on his way out, you're arguing the money goes to the master. Chavu be'rabbe gufe yahavile d'day. So if the master himself punches him, he's going to pay this guy? The money should go to himself. In other words, no payment at all. So that would seem to prove that the knas does not go to the master. So now we can answer that. Dilma kaman damar eino tzarich. Perhaps this follows the position. It says that if you punch out, if you or hurt one of the limbs, destroy one of the limbs of the Eved, that he goes free and doesn't need to get shichur, which means he's not waiting for anything. He's already gone. All right, in that case, which means, the Tanya, and we have the following machloket. V'chulan Eved yotze v'hamacherut. Any of these limbs that are hurt, then Eved goes free. V'tzarech get shichur mirabo. Divra b'shuah. Mishmuel says he needs to get shichur. Amei omer eino tzarich. Rebelez omer tzarich. Rebitafra omer eino tzarich. Rebikiv omer tzarich. Good, so we have five different opinions here. Two different opinions, but voiced by five different chachamim. Ha-mechriin l'fnei chachamim omrim. So the accommodation was reached, which is by the consensus of the rabbis. Ne'in de Rabbi Tarfon m'shein v'ayin. Rabbi Tarfon's ruling, which is you do not need to get shichur, would seem to be more reasonable in the case of the eye and the tooth. Hoyel v'torah zachta zichtalo. Because the Torah explicitly said he goes free. V'divra Rabbi Kiva, that you need to get shichur b'shari varim. Hoyel u'knas chachamim hu. That's the first read. That since that's a fine of the rabbis that you have to go free if you knock off, if you amputate his arm or something, therefore you do need to get shichur. It's not as obvious that he's gone. And now, knas, since when is a knas? Hamikrai kardashinan. We learn them from psukim. All right. Ella ema mihol midrash chachamim hu. Since it's not explicit in the text, but it's midrash chachamim, therefore, in those cases, you do need to get shichur. It's not as strong. So therefore, going back to our case, when you punched the tooth and then blinded the slave, since, according to the final ruling, in that case, you certainly do not need a get shichur. Therefore, he's not mukav get shichur. He's already free. And there's not, and there's nothing barring him at this point from marrying a Bat Yisrael or anything else. So when you punched out his eye, you were doing damage to another free person and you owe him money. Okay, so let's continue with our examination of this guy's status. His master's a kohen. Can he continue to eat truma? Kinyan kaspor achmana. The Torah, after all, gives the eved kohen the rights to eat truma because he's kinyan kaspo. He is acquired by the money of the kohen. I love kinyan kaspo. And this guy no longer belongs to the kohen because he's on his way out. Perhaps we still call him kinyan kaspo because he's not fully out because he needs a get shichur, like our half eved half ben chorin guy. This is sugin yivamot about a switched at birth situation. A kohenet, an eshet kohen, and her servant, who is whose husband is an avid kohen, and she's a shifcha of a kohen, and they have babies, and the babies get switched, so we don't know whose is whom. Hare elo ochlim betruma. Both kids can eat truma because either he's a kohen or an avid kohen. That's fine. But remember, avadim do not get a separate portion of truma, so therefore they have to go together or between the two of them to get one chelak bagoren. Higdilu ataruvot. Once they grow up, meshachrin zedzeh, they have to free each other. One of them is the master, the other one is a slave, so they free each other, and that way they're both free. But that means that at that point, neither one of them can eat truma anymore because I might be the one who was a slave, and now I'm a free man, and I'm not connected to the kohen family. All right. Now, nonetheless, that means that here we have people who are eventually going to be leaving their status as avadim of the kohen, and they eat truma during that time. So that should seem to prove that a ma'ukav get shichur eats truma. Now, hachi hashta. Let's examine it. Hatam im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar b'chad minayu de'eved hu. If even Eliyahu would come and identify that one is the eved, kinyan kaspo according to me. He's still kinyan kaspo right now. He's not on his way out. He's not partially out. He's only destined to leave because of the doubt involved. Hachalav kinyan kaspo hu klal. But here, this guy is already out. He's just waiting for a get shichur. Maybe he's not kinyan kaspo at all. So we can't solve it that way. All right. We'd never solve that problem, but we do have another question. Ibayalu, evet shemachro rabbo leknas. Let's say that a master sells the rights of an evet, and this is somewhat akin to the question with which we started, which we picked up in the shir, which is selling part of an evet. Here he's selling rights to an evet to collect for knas. It's speculation. A guy needs money. So he says, you know what, there's a lot of wild bulls around here. Chances are possible that my Eved's going to get gored. That'll bring the master 30 shekel. I'll sell the rights to that for 10 shekel. I find some guy who might be willing to do it. And then if somebody's ox gores this Eved, even though the Eved belongs to me, you'll collect the knas. Does that work at all? Machor eno machor. Does that deal work? Tibai the Rameir, Tibai the Rabbanon. We have to remember that Rameir and Rabbanon have a wide-ranging machloket that's well-known about Adam Makneh Devar Shelo Ba'ala Olam. Can you sell fruit of a tree that hasn't yet blossomed? The tree is there. Can you sell the fruit before the season? And then it becomes speculation. Rameir says you can. Rachamim say you can't. But this question could be asked in both directions according to both. Let's see. Tibai the Rameir, let's ask it according to Rameir. Ad kamlo kamar Rameir. Adam Makneh Devar Shelo Ba'olam. Rabbi Meir only says what he does about a person being able to sell something which does not yet exist. I'm going Perot Dekel David Da'atu. He only says that about Perot Dekel, about fruits that are inevitably going to come. The tree's there in season. Here, who says that this slave's going to get gored? Lots of slaves live their whole lives out and never get gored by a bull. And even if it would get gored, who says the guy's going to pay? After all, besides the fact the guy might not pay, might run away and default, everything else, Remember that paying the 30 shekel is a knas, and in every knas, if you come and admit that you did it, you're potter. So there's all sorts of ways in which this guy, so this is not at all inevitable that this is going to happen. So even our mayor may say this deal doesn't work. V'tibar the Rabbanan, you can't even ask according to Rabbanan. Ad kam lakam Rabbanan, adamakam levashal olam. Rabbanan only said that you cannot sell something that doesn't exist. I'm going, pero dekel dehashtami aletanu. Except maybe something like fruit. The fruit's not here right now. There's a tree. There's no fruit. Avahacha who hakai shor v'hakai eved. But now the ox is there, the eved's there. All the places, all the things are in place. They just need to bump into each other for this to happen. So therefore, perhaps they would say it works. My so the question is: can you sell an eved simply for the rights of collection of the knas and nothing else? Let's see. Amar Rav Abba Toshma. Watch this. V'lid bayit. The Torah says that a kinyan kas kesef en yelid bayit. That acquired by the Kohen and that born into the house of the Kohen eat truma. Matam alomer, why does the Torah have to say one born into the house each truma? Im kinyan kesef ochel, if that which is outside and he buys it and brings it into the house via kesef, each truma, yelid bayit lo kol shekein, certainly that which is born into the house. So yelid kein, I eat the omer, but if it only said kinyan kesef, what would I say? Ma kinyan kesef, shish po shava kesef ochel. Meaning kinyan kesef isn't just something you bought for money, it's got some value to it. It's an eved who's working, who's making some use of himself. Right? Ein moshav kesef, ein ochel. Then I would have made the mistake of thinking that if someone living in the house has absolutely no value, then he doesn't eat truma. Talmud Lomar, you lead by it. Uminayin shav bishe ein oshav klum. Talmud Lomar, you lead by it. Go back. You did buy it, local. You can't. I eat the omer. Makinyan kesef sheish po shava kesef ochel. If you did buy it, sheish po shava kesef ochel. I would have thought, therefore, that only one born into the house who has some sort of value can eat. Alright? Uminayin shav bisha ino shava klum. How do I know that even if he has no value whatsoever? Tamalomer, you lead by it. Therefore, it explicitly says you lead by it, meaning something, a newborn baby has no inherent value right now. Vadayan, mikom akom. Vadayan ino yomer, lead by it, ben sheish po shava kesef, ben shen mo shava kesef ochel. So at this point, I'll say, sure, if he's born into the house, I don't care what his value is, he still eats truma. But kinyan kesef, yesh bo shava kesef ochel, ein bo shava kesef ein ochel. But I still would have made the mistake of thinking that if you are a kinyan kesef, which means you originally came into the house via acquisition, then only if you have value can you eat truma. Talmud Lomar, kinyan kaspo, v'ilid beito. Therefore, the Torah says kinyan kaspo, and yilid beito, and compares them. Ma yilid bayit av bishen oshav eklum ochel. Just like Yelid Bayit does not have to have any intrinsic worth to eat truma, same thing with Kinyan Kesef. All right, that's the limud. So the point being that you could have a Kinyan Kesef which has absolutely no value whatsoever and nonetheless eats truma. But let's figure, is it possible to have a Kinyan Kesef which has absolutely no value? If you think that selling an eved just for the rights of collection of knas is valid, that means every eved has value. Because every eved has some value, you could, for 10 prutot, sell the rights of collection of a knas. Nobody would turn that down. It's a good offer. Which means that every eved has value. So why are we playing with the idea of an eved that has no value whatsoever? So, in Ika av Eved Treifa, the answer is, yeah, you could have an Eved that has no value if it's an Eved who's already dying. A Treifa that's killed, you're potter for. Yeah, somebody who's on his last legs. V'chazi l'mekam kamei, the Eved could still stand in front of the master and serve him. So, benuvam l'kashchin, he's also somebody very sick, he's filled with boils. In some way, he's absolutely not of any value. He's an Eved who's already passed his time, he's gotten very sick, he's dying. He's got an open wound that he's dying from. And at this particular point, you might think he can't eat truma because he has no value. The answer is, nonetheless, he does eat truma even though he has no value. And it may indeed be the case that you could sell, the values of collection of an eved, for knas, but, and it's not disproven from this particular point about the value. Okay. Ibayalu. Further question. Mishu chetzu ev chetzu ben chorin. Back to our half and half. Shekidesh bat chorin. He was Makadesh, a Jewish girl. Mahu. What's the story? Imtim tzolomar ben Yisrael shamar levat Yisrael katshi lechetziai. After all, we know that if a Jewish man says to a Jewish girl, bimit kadesh to half of me, mikudeshet. That works. Techazi lekule, because she can be married to all of him. Halo chazi lekule, but in this case, she can't be married to all of him. He's half evid. But on the other hand, Ben Yisrael Hamakadish Chatzi Isha, if a Jewish man is Makadish half a woman, that doesn't work. We know that doesn't work. That's because he left something out of the kinyan. It's like he left port for some other guy to be Makadisher. But this, the Eved didn't leave anything over. He was Makadish every possible part that he was able to be Makadish. So what's the solution? Toshma. Remember, I told you we'd get back to the issue of the heirs. Remember, you have a half Eved, half Ben Chorin, which is the guy we're dealing with. And we said that if a shor kills him, half the money goes to his master, half goes to his heirs. Yorshim and Ali. If his kiddushin are meaningless, then where does he have Yorshim from? He certainly doesn't have Yorshim from when he was a full Eved, because those aren't his kids, the Eved and Lachayas. The only Yorshim he could have would be if he has valid kiddushin, and he wasn't yet fully freed. So therefore he has to be that the kiddushin as a half Eved, half Ben-Chorin are valid. So Rabarava Kshasa'o Trefa. Here's what happened. The shore didn't kill him. The shore made him mortally wounded. And my Yorshav Nafshe. Yorshav means you give it to him. All right, fine. Except for the following problem. Amarava Shtei Tshuvot Padavar. There's two problems. Chada to Yorshav Tani. He can't play so fast and loose with the words. The words say Yorshav. His heirs. Viod Koferhu. The statement explicitly said that they pay kofar. What's kofar? Shlokesh kofar mishlam alachamita. Kofar is a payment after someone's been killed, and you're paying for your role in having that person die. So therefore, the guy's dead. What it means here is that this guy theoretically should be able to collect, but the reality is he has no heirs. So we still don't know that his kiddushin are good or not. Now Rava turns around and looks at the opposite circumstance, and this will take us home. Kishem sha makadesh chatzi isha inu makudeshet. Just like if you're makadesh half a woman, it doesn't work. Kach chetzah shivcha chetzah b'chorin nishinit kadsha in kiddusha hakiddushin. If you're makadesh a half shivcha, half batchorin, it also doesn't work. You're makadesh half a woman, essentially. That's the equation that he makes. Darsh Rav Huna. So Rav Huna then taught this publicly. Some of the Rav Chista challenged him and said, since when are they the same? Hatam Shir Bekinyano. In the case of your Makadish, half of a free woman, you left part open. You didn't complete Makadish here. It's as if you're saying, some other guy can be Makadish the other half. Hacha lo shir b'kinyano. Here, you're Makadish every possible part. Fact is, halacha blocks it off at the 50% mark. Hadar okim Rav Rav Huna amor ale. Rav Huna brought a spokesperson in front of him and publicly taught. He admitted his mistake. Vidarash. Machshela zot tachat yadecha. This obstacle is right under your hands. What does that mean? And Adam omed al divrei Torah limken nechshavayan. The only way you really understand Torah is if you make a mistake in it and they have to re-examine what you studied. In other words, I thought one thing, I taught it that way, and then it was brought to my attention I was wrong. Now I really understand it. So he adopted Rav Chisda's position to say that if you're Makadesh, a half and half, it does work because you left nothing over in the Kenyan, and therefore the Kiddushin are valid. The question is, what's going to happen to those Kiddushin? That's something we'll see between now and the end. Rav Shesha disagrees. And if somebody wants to challenge that by saying, you know what a shifcha charufa is in that parsha that we keep coming back to? That's Rabbi Kiva's interpretation. That the shifcha charufa is a shifcha who's half shifcha, half batchorin, shenit hamureset levit ivri, who has a relationship with an evit ivri. Right? And alma batit rusihi. So obviously you see that she is available for erusin. So Amorlo, Rav Sheshit says, this is what you should say back to him. Klach etzor Bishmoel. You should follow Bishmoel's interpretation of the Parsha. Shuomer, b'shifcha k'nanit amurasa levit ivri. That the Parsha there is not talking about a half and half, it's talking about a full shifcha k'nanit, who is given over to an evit ivri. Shifcha k'nanit batit rusihi? What do you mean? She's able to have erusin as a Shivcha Kananit. So you're saying you don't like the fact that as a half and half she has, but as a full Shivcha Kananit she has Erusin. You know what Mu'reset means? Is designated. It's not a formal term of Kiddushin. Same thing, Rav Sheshit. You could say that Mu'reset is a half and half. She's Mu'reset. So you haven't disproven that. So now, since we're going to maintain that we are unsure whether her Kiddushin are valid, the half and half who gets married to Reuven, and then her other half is freed, and then she accepted Kiddushin from Shimon, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, of course, and then they both died. She falls to Levi for Yibum. Now, it's important to note that there is a limitation in Yibum, which is Achiv HaMeit, that only when a woman comes from one dead brother is she available for Yibum, not when she's coming from two dead brothers, which could happen via Ma'amar and all sorts of... That's the case with Rabbi Shimon and Ma'amar. And in this case, I don't say that this girl who was a half Shivcha, half Bat Chorin, who was Mekudeshet to Reuven, then she was freed, and then she accepted Kiddush from Shimon, and they both died. I don't say that Levi is now getting a woman who is the Eshet Shnei Meitim. Why? Manav Shach. Because one way or the other, she's only Eshet Meit Achad. E Kiddushet Reuven Kiddushin, if Reuven's Kiddushin were valid, which we're not sure about, Kiddushet Shimon love Kiddushin, then Shimon's Kiddushin are meaningless. And if we're going to say Shimon's Kiddushin are valid, that means the Kiddushin of Reuven, Lav Kiddushin, then Reuven's Kiddushin originally were no good. Either Kiddushin of a half Bat Chorin and half Shivcha are valid or they're not. But they can't be sort of. They either are or they're not. All right, good. Itmar, Chetzer Shivcha, Chetzer Bat Chorin, Shin Yitkad Shel Reuven Ishtachra. So the same exact case. Chetzer Yitkad Shel Shimon, Yosef Rachamam, Rav Nachman, Paku Kiddushin Rishon. He says, you know what happens? Reuven's Kiddushin disappear. She's now liberated. She's a new person. And then when she married Shimon, that's where it works. And that's where Yosef Rachama quoting Rav Nachman. Rav Zeram Rav Nachman, he quotes, says, Gamru Kiddushin Rishon. No, the Kiddushin of Reuven, the minute she becomes freed, now become complete and full, and now envelop all of her. And Reuven and Shimon's Kiddushin are nothing. All right, so their position is that we're not Misupak. Their condition is that we know exactly what happened. The question is, what is it that happened? Now, Rav Zera Kavatei Didi Mistabra, I think that my position is more correct, that Reuven's Kiddushin now envelop her. Dichtiv lo imtu ki lo chipasha. What does it say about the Shivcha Harufa? If she has relations with another man, they don't die because she wasn't freed. In other words, she wasn't a freed woman. What's the implication? Ha chupasha yumatu. If she was freed, then they do die, which means this half Bat Chorin, half Shivcha, which is how he's interpreting the Parsha, if she had been freed before having the adultery, then the Kiddushin that she had originally become full and complete, and then her having relations with another man is liable for death. So but according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Shivcha Kananit Me'orasat L'Eved Ivri, who interprets that entire parsha as being not about a half and half, but a regular Shivcha Kananit, Hachanamin Chichufsha Yumatu? What, you think that if a Shivcha Kananit is freed, she's immediately available for, considered a target for adultery, even though she's not married? You know what it means? It means that she was liberated and then she had Kiddushin. So it means that this, even if you interpret half and half, it means that she was freed and then she accepted Kiddushin. Not that the original Kiddushin enveloped her. And therefore, your proof that your position in what Rav Nachman said, that Reuven's Kiddushin now enveloped her, is not necessarily the case. It could be that Rav Yosef Rachama's take, which is that Reuven's Kiddushin disappear when she's liberated, and now whoever's Mekadesh her is her full husband, may be the case. All right, we end off with a story. It's a story about a woman who was a half and half. And they forced her master to free her. Why? What was the reasoning in our Mishnah why they forced the master of the slave boy who had half him to free him? Because he can't marry anybody. What was the reason here? Kaman Rabbi Yochanan Bruka, it follows Rabbi Yochanan Bruka, Da'amar al shnehem u'omer, Vayivarach otam Elohim vayomar pu'urvu milu ta'aretz. Rabbi Yochanan Bruka, it's a sugi we saw in Yevamot Taf Samach Bed, he maintains that both men and women are obligated in pu'urvu, and therefore the same consideration that applies to the man, he has to be freed so he can have children, the same applies to the woman, she has to be able to have kids. That, by the way, is the non-normative position. And that makes that statement and that story a little bit strange. Nachum Yitzchak Fikus says, no, min hagefker naguba. This wasn't because of the concern for her ability to fulfill the mitzvah of Purvu, but rather because of the reality that this woman was being mistreated and taken advantage of, a situation we've seen several times already in the context of discussing the status of a shifcha, because she couldn't marry anybody. They were taking advantage of her, and therefore, to solve that moral problem and societal concern, they forced the master to free her. Okay? We will pick up Mirtz Hashem at this Mishnah, Mocher Avdol of the Kochavim, Olechutzar, it's Yotza ben Chorin, in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.